Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us. Episode number 466, I'm pretty sure. We appreciate you listening. You should also call us if you'd like to hear your voice on the show. We like hearing from new people. 949-464-TBLS-8257 is the phone number to reach out. You can also leave us a voicemail. You can also send us an email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. We would love to hear from you guys. You can also buy our favor for $5 a month or 50 bucks a year, soon to be 55. That is where you go. You click the link in the show notes and you get all the bonus content we do every week, including this week when we talk about Gwyneth Paltrow's ski accident, which I have a lot of thoughts on. We're also going to talk about Lindsay Lohan and a MILF porno actress, maybe possibly going to the joint for not disclosing that they were paid to do ads for different Bitcoin exchanges. We do a ton of extra bonus content every week. I also record my solo show, Bonus Bri, once a week. And additionally, we do the Baller Lifestyle Podcast after show every Friday night with my friend, longtime friend, Dolomite D, on the Stereo app, which I share for our Red Circle subscribers. So if it's worth it to you, if you are interested in hearing more than what you get for free, you can do so by clicking the link in the show notes or clicking the link at the top of the page at theballerlifestyle.com. I am joined now, as always, by Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. I had been on a run of watching, like, darker shows, yeah. And I needed a palate cleanser. I knew there was a revival of the show Party Down.
Oh yeah, how is it?
And I was like, let me go, and because I think it was like 15 years ago. It was like Adam Scott.
Yeah,
and
it's a great show.
It's a great show, and I kind of remembered it, but I'm rewatching it the last couple days. Really, it's so good.
Yeah,
I think it's Ken on Marino. Hulu.
Yeah, it's on. No, yeah, I think it's Stars.
It's on Stars, but yeah. I think Hulu also has it.
Yeah. What's her name's not there, though? Who's the girl on that show?
Yeah, Lizzie Kaplan.
Oh,
big.
Huge fan. Huge fan. Still, you should still watch it. No, it's got Martin Starr. They're caterers. Oh, yeah. It's really
Martin
funny.
Martin Starr. Yeah, yeah. It's just, and it's a good, it's yeah. a good concept because you can just do a completely, you have the same core five and you just have a completely different one. I was just watching the one where they go to a black guy's funeral, oh, yeah. and then this white woman shows up and she's crying and she has a mixed race child, yeah. and they're like, who's this? And they're like, just tell her you're from, she's from the Phoenix office. And dad stepped out.
Yeah. I'll have to watch it. I might have to reacquaint myself. I mean, I watched the original, but it was a pretty long time ago. I'm surprised they did another one.
I haven't seen the new ones yet, yeah. but like just rewatching the old ones, it's really good.
It's so funny. Adam Scott is so great. Like he is.
Now
people, now people kind of know, but back then it was like, you know, people
this
didn't
was
really know.
First thing.
Yeah.
Like first big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. Succession started.
I haven't watched the first episode. Yeah, there's only one so far, right?
Yeah. Only one. I won't spoil it, but I was all excited. Well, I wasn't all excited to watch it, but I was like finally caught up on the rest of it over the weekend because I knew the new one was starting. And then I was like, oh yeah, it's out, so I'll just watch it. But the problem is now that they're done shooting, everybody's kind of like low-key saying how annoying it is that the guy that plays Kendall, Jeremy Strong, he's a method actor, which means he stays in character the whole time. And so
we may have done a Brian Cox
Yeah,
we may have done a story about how Brian Cox hates his guts.
He hates his guts. And so I'm sitting there watching the show and I'm like, well, you know, this the episode's going on. And I'm like, you mean to tell me that they say cut and this guy's still doing this?
Right.
And me and my chick were watching it while I was talking about her. I was talking about it to her because I'm like, it's kind of takes me out of it. It's hard to watch. And then I'm thinking of like Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor. So when he's playing Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. You got to call him Abe.
You got to call him Abe. And then he's still Abe. And they're like, Lincoln, here's your Diet Red Bull. And he's like, what is this Red Bull? Wait, listen, it's 1861. We have the, material?
He's such a good actor, but
so
like,
good.
I try to forget that he's method. Although it would be pretty funny in There Will Be Blood if he's like, I drink your milkshake.
Yes. I drink this double cappuccino. I drink it up. Like, it's just like, I mean, you're acting, you know, just I get their whole thing is they're not sure that they can get back into it. So they just stay in it the whole time. But that's so fucking irritating.
I think I saw an interview in the last couple of months with F. Murray Abraham, who's like a legend, a legend. And he was asked about that. And he's like, no. When it takes over, then like, then I have fun and like talk to my coworkers. Yeah. Like, what? He's like, I go to the craft service table, not as.
Right. I think Ray Liotta said the same thing. He's like, dude, just calm down. Like, you're fucking acting. You don't have to
break.
Somebody told a story where he's like, you don't have to be out of breath. Just act like you're out of breath. Like, you can do that, you know?
Right. You don't have to actually have a medical emergency.
Yeah. So I'm fine. I mean, I was, and then at the end of season two, Kendall was like, you know, you're real fired up for him because, you know, he made a big money move at the end of season two.
When he rapped?
Yeah. And then during season three, no, he rapped during season three, I think. Then during season three, he was a real bummer. So now I'm really off him in general, especially finding out that he's going method on all these people. So
yeah,
it makes he's it kind of hard actor, to watch.
But it's like, it's sad at the same time.
It is. Yeah, no, he is good, but I just wish I didn't know about his method. Like, I don't want
I don't want to know that about anyone.
Yeah, I don't want to know how the sausage is made. Okay, let's
unless talk. It's like Adam Sandler went method in Billy Madison. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, that
like
would
he acted like a second grader.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. As he grew up, he stayed in the method of each grade.
Like, he was doing nothing but like fifth grade stuff when he was in fifth grade. Totally.
Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. My own Troy on DVD.
It's finally stopped raining here in Southern California, Ed. And
was it raining for a long time?
Oh my God, it was a deluge. It was horrible. My whole backyard was a mud pit. Like every time I would get in and out of my vehicle to go anywhere, little specks of water would fall out of the sky and hit my skin. Oh my God. There's no worse feeling.
Oh, and it's humanity.
I know. And it's the little drops that are the worst. Like, it's like, you're like, oh, it's not going to be that bad. And then you get out and then water's touching you and it gets you on the face and stuff. And over the years, I recall having purchased a couple umbrellas on a couple of occasions. And I have no idea where they are, what happened to them. I think they're in another car somewhere. I mean, well, it could be like all my other things, but actually I think I've purchased umbrellas since then.
Well, but, yeah. did a a former person in your life taking them along with the silverware?
Yes, and the couch. Yes. And so there's a good chance that that happened. But what has happened that is nice here is that we get it's very green here now that it, because it's rained so much. Everything, the hills are green and everything's green. And we get this, there's like this invasive weed. I don't know what it's called. It's called like something mustard because it's got like yellow flowers. And it's just, okay. And it grows so quickly. So everything is just covered in the, in like 4 feet of this weed everywhere you look, all the hills. And my buddy, a friend of the show, well, longtime non Red Circle subscriber, current Red Circle subscriber, Darb in the OC.
Darb
has sent a photo of, cause now it's warmed up over the weekend. It's not so cold anymore of a, I would say medium size rattlesnake out on the trail. No. Yeah. Out on
Gotta move.
out on the trail where he mountain bikes. I don't know if he took this picture himself. I assume he did, or somebody sent it to him, but they are out. They're out and about. The snakes are thriving. And you know, I worry for the bunny population. Cause there's a lot of bunnies out there. You know, this it's the spring, Ed, this is when they have their babies. And so there's a lot of bunnies and
when they fuck like rabbits. Yes, and produce.
That's right. And the rabbits, they got to produce a lot of offspring because the coyotes and the rattlesnakes eat the babies quite a bit. So, and the hawks, of course,
except in Australia where the guy brought some rabbits over. Oh, yeah. And then there was no natural predators. Yeah, so yeah. The rabbits ate
took
everything.
Over. Yeah, they took over. And then they bring some toads. They have some toads there too that they brought over. They have some invasive toads. There's tons of invasive things in Australia. And for a while there was an invasive Australia. Never mind. What I was going to say is about the bunnies. Oh, one time there were who's Kim Jong Un? Kim Jong Un is the dad. Kim Jong Il is the dad. One time,
from Team America, star of Team America World
great.
Police.
He's great. One time, the King of Spain, I think, sent him like a dozen of these giant. They have these giant rabbits in Spain, and they're like 50 pounds. They're huge, and they have a hard time feeding the population in North Korea. So the King of Spain was like, here, maybe you could raise these rabbits. And he sent them like a dozen of these rabbits to like start, you know, they could start farming these rabbits for food. But then Kim Jong Il immediately slaughtered all of them and had them as a feast.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. He also
doesn't let anything get in the way of a big feast.
He also fucked over the Volvo on some vehicles. He got a whole bunch of Volvos delivered one time and never paid for them, which I thought was a pretty baller move on his part, along with the eating of the rabbits. Ed, who died this week?
Oh, we lost an icon, yeah. Especially of my area.
That's right.
The captain. Yeah. Willis Reed, yeah. 80 years old. Yeah. He was the captain of the last Knicks team to win a championship 50 years ago. I think they celebrated the 73 Knicks like maybe a month ago.
Yep.
And you knew things were off because
it wasn't
there. They had most of the team.
And Bill Jackson.
Well, no, he's persona non grata, so he doesn't get the invite. But like they're like, oh, Willis is doing fine, but he's on the monitor here, like because he can't be there with you. Like a couple of the guys had died, but yeah, like he looked bad.
Yeah, they went hard back then. Now is he's the one that he played in the game where he was hurt. But he only
tore
played
his ACL but he only, 2 days earlier.
But he only played like 4 minutes in that game. Like
he had the first two buckets of the game, and then that was it.
Yeah, that was it. But it's very motivational. Lift. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and in that game, it's the Willis Reed game.
Yeah.
Walt Clyde Frazier went for like 38 points, 17 assists, and 8 rebounds or something. And they're like, the Willis Reed game.
I love that. Yeah, he went.
But he was one of the NBA 50, NBA 75. Yeah. Like he's considered a great player.
He's legit. Yeah.
But
for sure.
And an added bonus, when I was working at UBS, one of the one of my coworkers' wives was a nurse, and she once had to apply a catheter to Willis Reed, and she said it was like a fucking fire hose. The dude was working with a lot.
They had to go. They had to get the extra large catheter. They're like, this will not do. Somebody has to go get the, some extra large surgical tubing.
PVC pipe to get in that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so now you know why he was the captain.
Yeah.
You had Walt Frazier. You had Dollar Bill Bradley. Yeah. You had all these different guys. Dave DeBuscher. But Willis Reed was the captain because he was packing.
He was captain. He was captain of the dick the
locker room.
Crew.
Yeah,
yeah.
I
remarked on this week's bonus bride that I've got a near 48 year streak of non catheterization going, and I would like to extend that as long as possible.
Never hear good things.
Yeah,
you never hear good things.
No, it does not. It sounds awful, and the removal because I think usually. You know, or at least they give you a local or they do something when they insert the catheter. And usually, you know, you're dying or something or you're going in for surgery and they catheterize you. But then they they remove it when you're fucking up and at them and ready to leave the hospital. And they're like, then they just rip it right out. And I'm not into that.
I'm with you. I don't need to ever have that happen to me.
Neither.
We've both been snipped.
Yeah, that's right.
And you get the local.
Yep.
And the weird thing, it doesn't hurt, but it's weird how you feel the tugging going on.
Yes, yeah.
Like, you don't, it doesn't hurt, but you know there's tugging going on.
Yeah, you can feel the tugging, and then he's like, okay.
The plumbing's being ripped out, and you're like, oh, this is a weird feeling.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, he's done. And he's like, all right, now I'm going to do the other side. And you're like, oh, right.
Oh.
That makes sense. There's two. You guys got to go in there twice and do it. Yeah, that is a weird feeling.
R.I.P. Captain.
Yeah, very sad.
I just, you know, I hope you're sitting down. We talked about this story before, but the latest court filings show that Brett Favre knew the Mississippi funds transfer was illegal.
I'm convinced, Ed.
That hayseed put it all in writing.
Of course he did. Of course he did. I mean,
fucking dummy.
There's very few things you could convince me that Brett Favre knows. Like, you know, I don't like I think he would have a hard time doing a, you know, very basic math test.
Right. But he's just a gunslinger.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger. But I'm convinced that he knew that he was stealing from the state of Mississippi. And I'm ready for him to do the perp walk. Like, we need longest yard part three. Like, let's get Brett Favre. Let's throw him in the pokey and have him pay his debts to society.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see him get tuned up in the prison yard.
Yes, absolutely. Also, the original Longest Yard, it's a great movie. It's a really good movie.
Paul Crewe.
But it's the Burt Reynolds, his character.
Oh,
he goes to the
shit out of his chick, right? He goes in the first scene, I think.
He goes, the reason he's in prison is cuz he beats up his old lady.
Then he steals her car.
Yeah. And he's drunk, but he tunes her up. But I'm like, you could have written this. I know it was a different time, but you could have written it any other way. Like, he's the hero of the movie. Like,
Cool Hand Luke got arrested for sawing the parking meters off.
There you go.
Right? He was just anti-authority.
Right. Love it. Like, anything, anything different than tuning up the old lady. And back then, I mean,
But I think it's relatively graphic. Like, he knocks her to the ground.
Yeah, he does. Yes. He beats on her. And look, I get it. She was very annoying, but still, that is not, we don't do that. And I don't think we even did that back then.
At least in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, it was just implied that on that boat,
shot her.
Brad Pitt had enough of her shit.
Yeah, she was talking a lot, and it was just the two of them out there.
She was a yapping.
Yeah. And that was based on somebody's true life story, I think. That's ripped
from the
headlines.
Actually reading the book right now. So
yeah.
Tarantino said, this came out like last year, he goes, I always loved when the novelization of famous movies.
Oh yeah, so I like that too.
So I made a novelization of my movie, and it's like all the backstory and stuff. And it's a little like film nerdish, of course.
Yeah.
But he details the backstory of Cliff Brad Booth. Pitt's character, Cliff Booth, and he does say I think he says, much like some other stuntman, he shot his wife. Yeah.
Hey, look, shit happens, you know, people. But, you know, you could ride it any other. Remember we did Urban Cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
And
Bud and Sissy Forever.
Yeah, Deborah Winger. Ooh. Big fan. Deborah Winger, she gets tuned up by both Travolta and Scott Glenn, and she meets Travolta. He slaps her around the first night they meet, and they get married like 3 days later.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a different time.
Sissy also just didn't have self-esteem.
She really didn't. She really did. We should have gotten to know her parents a little bit better. They did not do right by her. No. Yeah.
I hope you're still sitting down I've got some rather unfortunate news about a Boston radio host.
Yeah.
A Boston radio producer was suspended after claiming he was trying to make a sexist joke. They said something like who's your most famous nip or something. And he said, I was trying to make a sexist joke about Mila Kunis's nipples and not the ethnic slur about Mina Kimes, the ESPN reporter.
Who happens to be Asian.
Yes.
I
believe she's Korean, yes. But even if she was Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a no-go, buddy.
Yeah. How is that even if he's telling 100% telling the truth, how is that even a topic on the radio?
Yeah. You know, Mila Kunis, the world's most famous nipples on earth. Like it's a bad save, buddy. You tried, but you failed.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever seen Mila Kunis topless in a movie.
I don't think so.
She was in Black Swan. That was about ballet. That's another Darren Aronofsky, I think, but I enjoyed
that movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
I liked it. It was like a trippy. And then I think he followed it up with a terrible movie.
Mother.
Yes.
That was a weird movie.
Yeah, because
he was banging Jennifer Lawrence at the time.
I get it.
Yeah.
Sex makes you do weird things.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was not. I mean, they were in hell or, you know, it's look, if you're jumping dimensions. Yeah, or it could be the afterlife. Like, I'm out. Like, I need a linear story, or at least just on this astral plane. I'm not going to fucking space. I'm not going. What was that one with Matthew McConaughey and he's an astronaut?
Contact?
Yeah.
Is that
Contact? No, Contact. Interstellar.
Then
he's behind the bookcase.
Yeah,
and
I just remember, like, what's he doing in the bookcase?
I don't know. Love brings him through. It's love. You just got to have love. Oh, fuck that. Fuck love. Fuck being in different dimensions. Fuck maybe being in hell. It's too confusing.
I'll tell you what. I can't watch it a second time.
Yeah.
But Requiem for a Dream.
Whew, that's another.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was fucked up.
It's so fucked up. That's another Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's.
Well, you know who he was with. For a while.
Well, Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. Now she's with Bond.
I know. That was just, he was with her for a long time.
Yeah. Big pull for Aronofsky.
Yeah. And then they broke up. And then, she immediately married Daniel Craig.
Yep.
Very, very quick turnaround for her. And I mean, look, her dance card's going to be full.
Yes.
She comes free and people are going to be in those DMs. They're going to be reaching out to her people to try to try to get in there. So good for him. What else?
I'm just read. So he said during their segment on WEEI, the Greg Hill show, they were asked for their top five nips.
I can't.
The hosts were discussing types of hard liquor.
Oh,
and the topic was flowing smoothly until producer Chris Curtis came in off the top rope and interjected by saying, I'd probably go Mina Kimes.
Oh, so he knows exactly what he was doing.
Of course. No, yeah. But he was like, oh, no, I fumbled. I thought it was because they were talking about alcohol and then he jumps in with Mina Kimes. Like, all right, buddy.
This is probably like a sponsored segment. They're like from Jameson.
Boston, I know,
but it's like also who calls a taste of their favorite liquor a nip? Like no, like just find another way to market it. Just don't even just get yourself
into a sponsor.
Yeah,
it must have been like they were they were really trying hard.
Yeah.
On a slow news day.
Right. What else is going on?
I just thought this is interesting. Fred Van Vliet on the Raptors, he just gladly took the fine. I think it was $35,000.
Yeah.
And he just trashed a ref. He said, every time we have his game, he's garbage. And they find him, and then the NBA looked into it, and they're like, oh, yeah, he is a terrible ref, and they demoted him.
Yeah. I listened to that Tim Donaghy podcast, Tim Donaghy, that people say it both ways, even in that show.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He has a podcast now?
No, he doesn't have a podcast, but someone did a writer.
Like a deep dive into him?
Yeah, a writer did a podcast about him and about the situation, and he interviews him and all his co-conspirators and every, but except he doesn't interview referee Scott Foster, who was also definitely in on it, and is still a referee.
Scott Foster, I think I read one time that Chris Paul's record with Scott Foster is like 0-18.
Yes. Yeah. And on all the games that Tim Donaghy bet on or admits to betting on, for some reason, he would call his buddy Scott Foster and talk on the phone for about 28 seconds after every game.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's about.
Yeah, exactly. But Tim Donaghy, he kind of says what a lot of people already think about the NBA, that it's sort of it's more of an exhibition of athleticism than really a contested sporting event, where it's, it's like kind of like the Jordan rules. Like they want to show off their best players, and they're always going to get the calls. And that's kind of instituted by the league, even though the league doesn't admit that. And, once you kind of hear the behind the scenes of it, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense why, these games aren't really, it's just kind of like back and forth. And then they start trying in like the last 3 minutes of every game.
Right.
Yeah.
Click the link. I think they have the little clip of Van Vliet. I think he's awesome how he just rips the ref.
That's okay. Okay, I'll play it right now.
I don't mind. I'll take a fine. I don't really care. I thought, Ben Taylor was fucking terrible tonight. I thought that most nights, a couple of the, out of the three, there's one or two that just fucked the game up.
Yeah.
And it's been like that a couple games in a row. Denver was tough, obviously. You come out tonight, you're competing pretty hard. The third quarter, I get a bullshit tech, changes the whole dynamic of the game, changes the whole flow of the game. And, most of the refs are trying hard. I like a lot of the refs are trying hard. They're pretty fair. They communicate well. And then you got the other ones who just want to be dicks and just kind of fucks the game up.
Yeah,
nobody's coming
this.
To see that shit. They come to see the players. And
I love Fred VanVleet.
I think we're losing a little bit of the fabric of what the NBA is and was. And it's been disappointing this season. You can look up most of my texts this year have been with Ben Taylor officiating. So
fuck Ben Taylor.
At a certain point as a player, you feel it's personal. And it's never a good place to be. That's not why we lost tonight. We got outplayed. But it definitely makes it tougher to overcome.
Hell yeah. I do. I also like that Fred Van Vliet's wearing like a $900 sweater.
Oh yeah. He absolutely can part with $35,000 to just, and it moved. The move worked.
Yeah.
The guy's been demoted.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, we looked into it. He sucks.
Yeah. And this is like the one skill that Phil Jackson had is he would politic like after the games and go after and, point out certain things that were or were not called. And then the next game, it would be those things would be called or not called based on him advocating for them. But this is the thing that Donaghy talks about when he's like, oh, any referee can keep a game close if they want, because all it takes is something like this is calling a technical foul on the right guy at the right time can keep the game, closer to the spread and have you on the winning side every time. He won like 80 something percent of his bets.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Refs
it's have easy.
Such a huge, speaking of bad officiating, did you see today the clip of, the ump throwing out JT Realmuto?
Yes.
Like what?
Yes.
Buddy.
Yes. Because he thought he let the ball go by or something, because what did he do just a minute before that? He called a pitch clock violation on Realmuto's pitcher. That was the genesis of that, of him being tossed out of the game. They had ill will between each other because the pitcher had violated the pitch clock, and the umpire, who umpires already think everybody's there to watch them, so they're like, oh, I get more chances to be seen on the field. Everybody's here to see me. Watch me ring this guy up for a pitch clock violation.
Why can't we do the automatic strike zone at this point?
Well, yeah, we need that. It's better.
I get if you're trying to see a tag at second base, yes, that maybe you need a human to be there, but like behind the plate, it should be like pretty automatic.
Oh, absolutely. And you could still have a guy there for plays at the plate or whatever, you know, sure, to manage the game, because they got a pretty strong union, and these umpires make about $500,000 a year. So they're not giving up any of those jobs, but you don't need them for balls and strikes. Balls and strikes are stupid. And you got a lot of these guys. Well, that's my strike zone. Oh no, that's that low strike. I don't give that. It's not up to you to give.
Right.
There's a box.
And it's like how McEnroe used to rail about, like, yep, why can't we just do automated shit? Like, why, yep, do I need you to tell me if the line, yep, if it's in or out?
Yep.
And now they have that. They've had the technology for years. Yes. But yeah, it used to just be somebody's opinion.
Yes. It's stupid. And look, I'm on record as saying I don't give a fuck. I want replay taken out of every sport because it takes so fucking long. I mean, ideally, they would get it right. I don't care if they get it right now because the game stops for 10 minutes. I would rather have them get it wrong or hopefully get it right than have the game stop for 10 minutes. But if you could do it quickly, do that.
You have 10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 if seconds it's obvious, is great.
10 seconds, you'll,
yes,
know.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
We've talked about this guy before. Gerard Piquet breaks his silence on the Shakira split. I want to be faithful to myself.
Look,
buddy,
this guy,
Mr. Jam Jar.
Yeah.
You had to let your side piece,
yes,
go in the fridge and use Shakira's jelly.
Yes. Not only were you side piecing on your home field, which is just
no,
one of the worst things you can do. And you're rich.
Letting her graze on the, in the fridge.
You're letting her have that, my girl, Shakira's preserves. Her delicious jam that only she eats. Unbelievable. And here's why Gerard's having a hard time taking the L. Because he violated the number one rule of relationships, Ed.
He went down.
Never cheat down. That's right. Never cheat down.
The problem is, yes, there's only one way to go with Shakira.
And it's only down. It's only down. And if you're a guy like Gerard Piquet, who clearly needs it, you know, you're look, ask Arnold. You know, you're gonna go for what's close by. You're gonna go for what's, sure, available. And even if it's the help.
I'm not the biggest Maria Shriver fan.
Sure.
Mildred Baina.
Yes.
Is a downer.
Mildred, come in here. I need to bust. I need to bust right now. Come in here. Then he not only does he bust in the maid, he goes internal.
Oh yeah.
He just lets it fly. Because he's Austrian. He's a wild man. He doesn't know that you can waste one.
He was raised by Nazis.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. So he's from Bavaria. He's from the hills. They don't know about pulling out there. And so, you know, it's natural that it could happen to somebody like him. And maybe Gerard Piquet, same kind of thing. You know, he's a little wild and he just lets it go and whoever's nearby. But now he's acting like he did the right thing and he's proud of his choices, and he knows he's taking an L here. That's all there is to it.
Big L.
Huge.
We talked about Diplo last week.
Yes.
He's back, but in the sports news.
Oh. Hold on. What did we talk about him last week? What was he up to again?
Eye contact, Brian. That's eye contact.
That's right. Says he.
Yeah, that might have been in the bonus part of the show.
That might have been. Last week we discussed Diplo, Diplo, who we also learned is worth like $50 million. Diplo
essentially said it's not gay,
yeah,
to get a blowjob from a guy, yeah, as long as you don't make eye contact.
Yes, exactly. It's he and Pedro Guerrero share that opinion. So what's he doing this week besides getting blown by dudes and not
ran a marathon? Yeah, but he beat Oprah Winfrey's L.A. marathon time, which I can't imagine. Yeah. Did Oprah kill it on the marathon circuit?
I can't imagine. She's probably one of those people that takes the tags off her shoe and jumps in a Suburban and gets Stedman. Delivered at hey, mile 18.
I need you to drive me 19 miles.
Yes. Pick me up. I'm going to run in the porta potty and then sneak out the back door and jump in the Suburban. And then we'll go to Denny's for a few hours. And then you drop me off at the finish line.
Well, he beat Oprah Winfrey's LA marathon time. I don't know why that's the benchmark for this headline.
It's kind of weird because she's also a celebrity. Yeah.
But he says he took LSD to do it.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't think that could have really helped. Was he on LSD during the race?
Yeah, it microdosed.
Kind of yeah. Oh, kind of takes your mind off things. Now,
but that's the thing.
Yeah.
Running.
Yeah.
Is such a mental
it is.
Sport. Like it is physical, but like no. you've got to be in it for hours.
It's true.
I assume he did it in like 4 hours or something.
It's true because as long as you can breathe, you can run. Like you can run forever.
This isn't sprinting.
Yeah. Yeah. As long
this
as
is just
you don't
job.
Blow it out.
Yeah.
But I actually follow somebody on Instagram who's friends with Diplo, and they're always like lifting weights. And I mean, they're probably
he's
doing
in good shape.
Yeah. He's in good shape. So he's definitely capable of doing a marathon. Like if he's on LSD during the race as a performance enhancer, it's not as impressive as the time I worked an entire shift at Soup Plantation on a macro dose of LSD. Because that's way more difficult what I undertook than what Diplo did in this race. DJ producer, under four, and he says he took LSD to do it. Diplo said on Twitter Monday that he put 5 drops of LSD into a water bottle.
That doesn't sound like micro.
No, that sounds like the full fucking load. The most I ever ran was 11 miles. So that any normal person would do who took LSD. LSD, sure. Yeah. Wow. No, he was feeling it.
Whenever the Super Bowl that was in New York and we bet on that the woman would be wearing
Renee Fleming.
Gloves,
yeah.
Yeah. That right before that Super Bowl, I ran a half marathon and like towards the end of that race, I was like, I'm never running again. And you know what? I've never run another race again. Never. I was like, this is fucking awful.
Really?
And that was half a marathon.
Yeah. He did
fucking horrible.
He did twice as much. Unbelievable. Good for you, Diplo. Now I wonder if he celebrated by having a nice blowjob from a dude who he didn't look at.
No eye contact.
Yeah, of course not.
Sure.
Yeah. What, anything else? There's one more story.
That's right.
We predicted this. I'll introduce it. We predicted this a few weeks ago when he was let out on bail for the Super Bowl. Chiefsaholic has jumped bail. He cut
that's
off.
That's not the rule following Chiefsaholic. I right. know.
He cut off his ankle bracelet and he's MIA according to his bail bondsman.
This poor woman. Yeah. She's like, why are you giving this guy a pass to go to the Super Bowl? He's dangerous. Yes. And they're like, no. Yeah. He's just a big old lovable Chiefs
fan. He's a fucking like, bank robber.
He pointed a gun at me. Now, I feel unsafe.
Yeah.
He loves it. He just loves football.
So if anybody in the Missouri or Kansas area sees an anthropomorphized wolf strolling around in Chiefs boxer shorts, call the police because that's Chiefsaholic Javier Michael Babadar. Been on the run since 8:30 p.m. Saturday. He could be anywhere, Ed.
But he's a wolf. He could blend in with the pack.
Yes, he could be in the woods. He could be out there being the alpha of the pack.
If you notice a wolf has a howl that doesn't quite ring true, that might be a bank robber.
Are there any leads on where he might be headed? He has a close relationship with his mother and brother. Those three are rarely ever separated. Well, that's weird. He's an adult.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Spit roast with mom?
That's wow, geez, Ed. Babadar's mother and brother left Tulsa and we previously believed that Javier was with them. However, we later found out that they left Tulsa about 2 hours before Babudar even cut off his leg monitor. Oh, that's where they're like, oh no, I was gone. I left 2 hours before. Like that seems like a little too buttoned up right there. No, I was nowhere near Tulsa when he cut off his ankle bracelet. I had nothing to do with it.
How old is he?
I think he's in his
20s. Never seen without mother and brother.
That's pretty weird. Yeah.
You could say the same about me, like sister, when I was like five.
Six. Yeah, I know.
Like that 5-year-old's always with his mother.
It's pretty weird. I know. I remember being like just mortified to ever be seen with my parents. And my kids don't seem to have that as much, which I think is kind of nice. I think it's more about them than it is about me. But my daughter did tell me one thing the other day, and she's been featured on the show before. She was telling me the other day that one of her friends was like, oh my God. She's like, my mom she's been doing Insta stories and they are so cringe. I'm so embarrassed. And my daughter was like, yeah, my dad reviews meat sticks.
You know what? Top that. My dad reviews meat sticks.
That's right. My dad is online.
I'll see your cringe videos and raise you meat stick reviews.
My dad is talking about the loose meats he buys at gas stations.
He's providing hashtag content.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. Here we go. Let's talk. So let's do some emails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless shit. He's fat and got big tits.
He's been well. Sometimes I get kind of bummed out because that song does get kind of mean. But then I realize that Manuel and Gardenia has never listened to this show, so he's never heard that. I mean, he did. I think when the song first debuted,
but I think people tagged him.
People told him, yeah, they're like, hey, there's a song about you, and then he came on and he like talked about his haters and stuff.
0% chance he's listening to this.
No, for sure he doesn't. Well, he's working the night shift now.
Oh,
so
right.
He's like, makes sense. Can't catch up on any pods on the night shift. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
Hey, Lawlers, Ben Echo 6 here. Just thinking about Super Lee's call from last week. Wisconsin's got a lot to hate about it. I kind of get on this bandwagon as being from
the U.S. So we have a major border war going on in the Midwest between Wisconsin and everywhere that's not Wisconsin. And this is a comment on that.
Well documented this show. I happen to be in Wisconsin more than I probably want to be. No offense, but all offense actually. But I think one of the worst things about the state, and there's a lot to hate, but one of the worst things is when you go to these little hole-in-the-wall bars.
No.
One of the worst things is asking for an old fashioned. And the number one question they ask you is whiskey or brandy.
Whoa.
And I just can't. I don't know why you would ever use brandy for anything outside of cooking. And I just think one of the worst things about the state, if not the worst thing about the state.
Wow.
Keep it well, guys.
I mean, it's Ben 906 brings up a very good point. Isn't brandy's just like really shitty whiskey, isn't it, Ed?
I feel like it's like sweet.
Yeah. Hold on. Let's look it up here. Brandy, and we're not talking the great song by Looking Glass, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Is it like an after dinner thing, I think?
Yeah, an aperitif. What alcohol type is brandy? Brandy, oh my God, Ed, you're right. Yes, brandy, alcoholic beverage distilled from wine, or fermented fruit mash. The term used alone generally refers to a grape product. So it's fermented wine. Brandies made from wines or fermented mashes of other fruits are commonly...
Am I wrong? Isn't that what cognac is? Isn't that a brandy?
I think so. Yeah.
Is cognac a brandy?
Yeah. Look that up. It's, I mean, yak is a hard... That's a
every
hard.
Cognac is a brandy, but not all brandy is a cognac. Okay, stop with the riddles. What the fuck? I just wanted a quick answer.
It's confusing. It's confusing.
Come on.
Distilled barrel-aged fruit wine. Whoa, no, I'm out.
I've definitely tasted it, and it's like sweet.
Yeah, yep.
I feel like I was at a wedding, and they were like, oh, here's a digestif.
Yeah,
fucking no. Sweet and garbage.
No, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl is a great song by Looking Glass, though. So I would not, don't confuse those, because it's about a barmaid that likes to fuck a lot of sailors, and they're all
Brandy's brother Ray J fucked Kim Kardashian and made her famous.
Yes, and he makes like $50,000 a month from that sex tape. By the way.
Good for him.
Ray J.
Wow,
Ray J is not lacking for funds or...
Brandy went to the prom with Kobe.
That's right. Also, yes.
Also,
6 degrees.
Not always with permission.
Could we connect that to... Is there a way we could connect that to a movie that Jay Stu has been in? Can we do a 6 degrees of separation?
Okay. Was Kobe, was he in like a Space Jam? What Kobe Bryant movies? I'm going to do this.
No, he did win an Academy Award, undeserved. Brandy the Singer. Brandy, she was in Cinderella.
Okay, I can do this.
Okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant appeared in the movie Daddy's Home.
Shut up. Is that with Ice Cube? Yeah.
Daddy's Home. No, that's Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can backtrack. Okay. It always comes down to LDP to Gina Gershon. Okay.
Yep. Oh.
Mark Wahlberg was in.
Was he in anything with Tom Cruise? Because then we could get to Cocktail. Also, what about, was he ever inside of Jennifer Tilly? Because she had sex in that movie with Gina Gershon. Yes.
Jennifer Tilly was in, okay, so Jay Stu was in a movie with Gina Gershon.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Let's go LDP.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yes.
Who was in Young Guns.
Yes.
With
Emilio Estevez, who was briefly engaged to Paula Abdul, who was the choreographer for the Laker Girls.
There you go.
Is that there? We go. There's a connection right there.
Who was?
Yes.
We can do this.
Yeah.
Okay. So was. Paula Abdul, who was the head fly girl on In Living Color,
that's right,
with Jamie Foxx, yes, who was in Collateral with Tom Cruise.
There you go. Yes. Who was in Cocktail with Gina Gershon.
Yes.
Nailed it. Yeah. See?
Nailed it.
So you can always get back to Jay Stu. It's coming soon, by the way. Draft Stravaganza.
Yeah. Excited to have him back.
If you have emails or voicemails, I would get them in soon, as we are recording Draft Stravaganza in less than a week. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. Also, 949-464-TBLS, and go back. I believe Draft Stravaganza is episode number 27. So go back and have a listen. It's only been 29 episodes since then, but we're going to do another one. So here we go. Okay. Oh, we're still doing voicemails. Here's another one.
Hey guys, Kyle and Scotty here.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Kyle, General Lee from Minnesota. Going to give you a quick history lesson. Every African American moved to North America, and not by fucking choice. So, yes, they moved to Wisconsin too. You fucking racist.
Oh my God. Super Lee, you've alienated my favorite farmer.
You kicked up a hornet's nest.
Yes. I love Super Lee, but I also love Kyle and Scotty. And I don't want there to be beef.
I hate when mom and dad fight.
I don't want there to be beef with you guys.
No, like, we don't want this. Listen.
I mean, it is funny when he makes fun of Wisconsin. I have to admit. It does make me laugh. Except for that time he fucked over Houdini, who's amazing.
Yeah. You can hate a division conference rival in sports.
Yes.
But we will not stand for you impugning the great Kyle.
That's right.
Wisconsin.
Look, if you want to talk about Stephen Avery burning cats and murdering people from the Auto Trader, then yes, that's, we're okay with that. But, you know, leave my guy Kyle alone. He's a good dude.
Great dude.
Okay, here's another one.
Howdy, ballas. Katie Shady here in Shady. Cincinnati.
Yep.
So I was 2 years old when I learned that gypped is a racial slur.
That's right.
But what is
gypped? Because we talked about last week how Whoopi Goldberg's been canceled again because she slurred Romanians by using the
Romani people, gypsies.
Gypsies, that's
who you're not supposed to call gypsies. But like, that's one of the newer ones that we didn't realize was a slur.
That's right, yes.
Like Eskimo.
That's right. Oh, yeah. But here's the problem. Some of the
Inuit
or First Nations or however they like to be called, some prefer to be called Eskimo. So it's hard to know. There's some that own that name Eskimo, and you know, some could be our Eskimo brothers.
I have heard that some Native American have preferred American Indian.
Right.
Like, yes. I just know.
Yes.
My intent is always to treat you with whatever respect you want,
intent.
Like, or whatever moniker you want or whatever, like, but it's tough. I am all in favor of trying to do the right thing. If somebody hates the name,
yes,
great. Get rid of the name Redskin. Move on. But I honestly didn't know about Whoopi Goldberg's thing until like a year earlier. I heard that.
Same. Then you end up with the Guardians, and that's fucking horrible. That is a horrible, horrible team name. So if you're
Commanders,
that's not great either.
I like calling them the Commies because people get uncomfortable when I call them the Commies.
I like that too. Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, you know, it's you got to worry about what the after effects are, but.
Right.
Intent is important. Obviously, it's a colloquial term. It's offensive to some people. Most people do not know that.
But I did read that I think Whoopi is doing just fine. People are like, you know what? Yeah. How many of them watch TV?
Karen Johnson's doing just fine. No, that's a good point. Also, remember what we learned? Peanut Gallery is a slur against black people because they couldn't afford the expensive seats, so they had to sit way up in the peanut gallery. But nobody knows that. And it's like, and once you learn, okay, don't use it. But intent is what matters. And if somebody's not trying to slur you, you can politely correct them, I think.
Right. Yeah. We can move past it, but until we learn that peanut gallery is bad,
that's right.
We didn't know.
Also, some gypsies got Ed's iPhone one time. So
those fuckers. Oh, but it did. And then, like a month later, I saw the scene playing out for this other one. I was right by the Champs-Élysées in France.
Yeah.
In Paris. And I saw it happening and I like stood up and I stopped. I grabbed the person by the wrist.
Pickpocketing.
And I go, and I can't speak French.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're trying to steal your phone. And then the woman gave me a dirty look like I was trying to take your phone.
Because you didn't try to say it in French. That's why.
I just didn't know.
She's like, ooh, American. You learned to speak your language.
Dumb American. Yeah. And
Sacre bleu.
It was pretty funny. Yeah. They were like, ça c'est bon. Yeah. And then the Romani person goes, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. He like knew. They knew.
Summoned the courage for those English words.
Yeah. No,
I foiled a robbery.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Stress the fact that there are still gypsies coming around and thieving everywhere. When I worked in retail, I was Banana Republic store manager, and we would get notifications from loss prevention that groups of gypsies and Irish travelers were going around because they could steal like an entire table full of sweaters without anyone really noticing. So we would have to be super on guard just to make sure that they didn't come in and steal all our shit.
But also, who gives a fuck? It's not your shit. Just let them steal it. Steal all the shit. I don't care. I don't care if you steal from a corporation. I just don't steal Ed's iPhone.
Now, these days, as a realtor, we get them. They come up, especially in Cincinnati, because they bury their dead
Stop
at Spring Grove Cemetery.
Stop. Which is Do they bring them up in a caravan?
Oh, absolutely.
They're like, do you like the eggs? And they come up and bury their dead and have a party all night?
Historical landmark in a pretty famous, gorgeous cemetery. And so when that, they come up around Memorial Day for that, and we have to put alerts out to people who have homes in the real estate world because they pour driveways. And a lot of times, they will come to a house and ask for a deposit, and people will put down, you know, $1,000 to have their driveway poured, and then the people will just take off.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, you got to check their contractor's license.
You know, I understand.
Get two bids.
Racial slurs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think that the Romanis and the Irish Travelers and those people really need to get their shit together.
Well, they sounds like they got it together.
Sensitive about it.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, there's
every
so
champion of the world.
Yes,
about
that's
my
right.
Gypsy wedding, gypsy sisters, gypsy this, gypsy that.
Yep.
So it's in the lexicon of pop culture.
It is.
So I'm not really sure why they're making Whoopi.
Yeah.
Making Hoopy freaking Hoopy. Apologize for it, even though she sucks anyway.
But what?
No, that's all I have to say.
Jeez, that's a long way to go. I appreciate that, though. I like the lesson. You know, we have here in Orange County, the palm reading grift is controlled by a gypsy mafia. And if you try to open a tarot room or any kind of like fortune telling, the gypsies will come and they'll chase you out. And then you can't find them because they got a lot of different names and stuff. We should do a deep dive on it. It's very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, here's another one.
Brian, Ed, Airsec Rhino, Ryan in Houston here.
Great guy.
I'm calling because, you know, you guys are talking about...
Airstrike Rhino sounds deceptively like Caleb in Seattle. Does he not?
He does.
Yeah.
He does have a Caleb-sounding voice.
Yep.
It's Reddit.
Good Kathy, voice.
Which obviously very sad. And you were talking about how you really only saw him in serious roles. You know, there's a, in you played the Eric Andre thing, which was very funny. But there was a show called Corporate.
Oh, I remember.
Which you may have easily missed because I think it maybe got two seasons on Comedy Central. And Lance Reddick had a very hilarious role in that. The show itself is pretty funny too. But it was funny in the same way as the Eric Andre skit where he's playing a character that is so over the line, intense and serious that it's funny. But he does a really good job in that. So if you can find it to stream somewhere,
it's
been a while.
Paramount.
So I'm not sure where that would be, but if you can find somewhere to stream it, I would definitely do that and check that out. Called Corporate. Anyway, that's it. Later, guys.
Appreciate it. I'm looking up Lance Reddick, cause of death.
Oh, it's free on the Comedy Central website. App.
Okay. Reddick died suddenly. It just still says natural causes. I need to know.
That's not acceptable.
No. How did he die? Cause of death. You see, you know what? Everybody clickbaits this because they know you're searching for cause of death. So there's just a bunch of bullshit that doesn't say how he actually died because they don't know yet.
Right.
I mean, very sad. R.I.P. Lieutenant Daniels. Oh, my
Maybe
God.
Marlowe.
This one said, Marlowe might have got him. This one says transcription not available, so I'm going to have my finger on the pause button.
Hey, Brian, and I know it's you, Jason Stewart. What's up?
Oh, no, we'll do that for The Bachelor. Thanks, Dave. But look, he called back. Oh, no. No, those are both for my Bachelor show. But The Bachelor Lifestyle coming down to the wire, the finale this week. If you or your wife are into The Bachelor, me and Jay Stu do a show about it, and we'll probably have the great Reality Steve on this week to explain. Have you been? Is Michelle watching The Bachelor, Ed?
She is, but were we on text? I don't know. For some reason, Reality Steve announced the next
Bachelorette Bachelor? Charity.
Maybe we were on like a text
oh my God
chain or something. Maybe Jay Stu pulled us into it. But I said to Michelle, I was feeling good. And she's like, well, thanks. I didn't know she was off yet. So,
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they
announced. I was like, oh, I just thought I had a scoop that I was like giving you something. And she was like, great.
Jace do blame me for that, too, because I saw Steve tweet it. And then I retweeted it and I said, even with her speech impediment. And then people got so mad at me because they say it's just a Southern accent. But that's not what I'm talking about. She does a thing where she's like,
she's very attractive.
She's very pretty, but she does a thing where she like kind of talks through her teeth and that her bottom lip goes out. It like pulls out on both sides and she's got a way of talking that's, it's confusing to me. Anyway, let me tell you what the guy on The Bachelor did. This guy is such a tool, Ed. You'll love this.
Oh, he looks like it. I've been in the room when she's got that on, I don't know why, but I really want to punch him.
You would want to punch him. He, he's got Catholic guilt. So here's what happens. They get to the fantasy suites, which I love. That's where he gets to sample the goods, right? But he tells Jesse Palmer, who I like to call the talented Kyle Brandt. He gets with Jesse Palmer and he's like, I know this is the week. This is fantasy suites week. He's like, but I just want to declare. And this is like a hold my beer moment. He goes, I just want to declare no sex. I'm not going to slay any of these chicks. Like, it's just up to him. Oh, he's like, I could fuck them all if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. So that irritated me.
Isn't that weak the point of being on the show?
Yeah. So then he goes, but this guy's a loser. And then he goes on the first date with the first chick who is a dime piece. And they go out and they have a nice date. And he's like, hey, by the way, I'm not slaying it tonight. And she's like, okay. I mean, you know, I was like available for that. And it's like, it's crazy, right? So he doesn't have sex with her. Then he goes on the second date and the chick is like an emotional wreck and about not being picked or anything. And then he goes on the second date and he breaks his promise to himself.
Oh,
he bangs the second chick, right? But then, like an idiot, first of all, he tells Jesse Palmer, he's like, hey, Jesse, I banged the chick. And Jesse's like, okay. And then he's like, so I'm going to tell the next chick I'm going on a date with that I banged the second chick.
Oh, and Jesse, what are you doing?
And Jesse Palmer, like a fucking moron, just looks at him. His eyes just get a little bit wider. And he doesn't offer the fucking advice like, hey, buddy, man, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you shouldn't tell her. So then he goes on the next date and he's like, hey. And they're like paddling like through these. They're in Thailand. Where you couldn't get a hand job. Maybe he should have gone to the place where you could not get that hand job and he could have gotten a hand job and then he could have gotten the demons out and been fine, but he didn't do that. So he goes, they're like paddling these clear boats through the mangrove forest. And then they're like just sitting there in this fucking marshy area. And he's like, hey, I got something to tell you. He's like, I just want you to know that I fucked that other chick last night. And she's like, why are you telling me this? Like, I don't want, like, she's like, I get that that's implied. Why did you tell me that? So that's where we're at. Then he kicked off the dimey dime who he didn't have sex with. And now the girl who he did bang is being slut shamed. So that's what's going on. Bachelor finale this week. Bachelor lifestyle.
Wow.
Anywhere you get podcasts. Okay, here's another one.
Hey, guys. Super Lee. Just wanted to start out with saying some love for Dola, Brian, Stu, and Truth Honk.
Oh, no.
Just making that Friday show just as entertaining as possible.
On the stereo,
Brian, I really hope you post it.
Yep.
2 hours of just absolute
joy. I was only at 1 hour of it.
It was amazing. And, you know, I feel like I'm going to comment only on Red Circle stuff, and I hate doing that because I don't want the assholes who are not in Red Circle to hear about this stuff, but they need to know what they're missing out on.
Yes.
And so I'm hearing the bonus Bride stuff, and I'm loving it. I feel so connected to it. There's so many times I shook my head and said, yes, I agree, Brian.
That's
you are on the right path. Like this Bride who's hating on the non-fats for acting like...
And I discussed an article in the Daily Beast where this woman really hates the movie The Whale because it's fat-phobic, and even though she hasn't seen it. So that's what he's talking about.
Fats. And, I mean, it's called acting, right?
That's They're right.
Supposed to be
You're pretending to be fat.
That, like... Tom Hanks was not really stranded on a desert island, but there he was in, you know, whatever that fucking movie was.
I'll tell you what.
And
yes,
there's a better chance of me sprouting wings than seeing that movie.
The Whale.
I have zero desire to see it.
It's pretty depressing. But now that I talked about it, I kind of feel like I need to watch it. But I agree with you.
The little trailer. Yeah. He's just crying, and yeah.
He's six no, bills, and he's eating himself to death. You know, and that's a sad story.
And he also wasn't in World War II, but I saw him Saving Ryan's Private.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's that. And finally, like, this Dane then going on and saying, you know, oh, I didn't watch the movie, but I read reviews that supported what I thought. Well, that's some bullshit, because I think the number one problem with the world today is there's some of these people who have curiosity, but they don't match it with being open-mindedness. So they end up finding these stupid-ass crackpot theories or only it exists in an echo chamber that supports their own thoughts. If you're going to be curious, got to add on some open-mindedness to maybe expand your perspective and be open to new things. So that's all. Love the bonus, Brian. Love the Friday show. Really love the community that you guys have grown here. Love you guys, and just thanks for everything. And fuck Wisconsin.
I would say that I'm not watching that movie, not because I'm not open-minded.
Yeah.
When am I going to be in the mood to see that?
I know. It's the same. I agree. Hey, look, I've never seen Schindler's List. It looks very depressing. I'm never in the mood for a depressing movie. I haven't seen The Whale. My point is that you can't tell a story about a 600-pound guy and go out and find an actual 600-pound guy and hope he's a good actor. You just got to get a good actor and have him pretend to be that 600 pounds. And, you know, like, if that's what you're into. But it does look very depressing. Thank you for that, Lee. Okay, here's one more.
Brian, Ed, it's Dola. Hey,
buddy of ours.
I heard you call for a while.
Longtime friend. He was concerned that I mentioned that I could block him for not coming through on his State of the Baller Lifestyle podcast call that he's promised, but I was just kidding. I would never block anybody.
I worked up a little something for you today, and honestly, I don't have it in me. There's another school shooting today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep hearing these people talk about, oh, we need to arm the teachers. And it's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, yeah.
Our kids keep getting shot in schools. And these people who say we need to arm the teachers are the exact same fucking people who have a problem with the books the people, the teachers pick out.
Sure.
It's fucking absurd. I just don't have it in me. Anyway, if you're one of those people who thinks, let's arm the teachers, you're probably one of the people who has a problem with the books the teachers pick out. Let's be fucking reasonable. Something has to fucking change. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Ed. Bye.
Well said, Dola.
Well said. Yeah, all I can tell you is that my mother was and my two sisters are teachers, and, like, you definitely don't want them armed.
Right. It's not their job.
No. It's not their job.
Shooting bad guys is not the teacher's job.
No.
Appreciate that, Dola. Thank you. That was very much from the heart, and your contributions are always appreciated. Thank you. One quick email. Ballers, I am finally getting around to reading my signed copy of Ed Daly's Work of Mastery, Heroes and Jerks, the best and worst who ever lived, now available in paperback on Amazon for $19.95. And I have three observations so far. One, the timeline illustrations by Ed are fantastic and deserve their recognition among the likes of Michelangelo and Rembrandt, who are featured heroes in the book. B, as someone raised Catholic but now happily free from their clutches, I greatly enjoyed hearing about the many infallible popes who made the jerks list.
Oh, popes were like warlords.
They're big pieces of shit.
The Nazi Pope was a great guy compared to these monsters.
Oh yeah,
they were starting wars.
All the Nazi Pope did was hide pedophiles and have sex with his manservant. Like that's right. Nothing in the world of popes.
That's nothing compared to like medieval times popes.
It is insane that there is so much evil in the history of that religion, and people just act like nothing happened. Learning about the horrible popes in college was one of the main reasons I began to question religion in the first place. Three, I was not prepared to hear about what Martin Luther consumed a spoonful of each day in belief it helped keep him disease-free.
Yep. Think of the worst thing he could eat.
I had to stop and take some deep breaths after that.
Yep, spoonful of his own shit. That's what he ate.
Thanks for the excellent book, Ed, and both of you for continuing to put out the best podcasts available on the internet. Keith and the Triangle, hashtag Team Current, hashtag Team Every Episode. Thank you for that, Keith.
Now, thank you, Keith.
He should post that on your Amazon reviews, unlike the dude that's like, hey, Ed, check out my penis. Whose penis do you want to look at? Okay. Thank you for that, Keith. Let's do some not sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Ed, what is happening in the world of things that are not, in fact, sports?
Well, sadly, we lost a few people in the non-sports world. Yep. First up, Paul Grant, a little person who played an Ewok and was in Harry Potter, 56 years old.
Oh, very sad. Those Ewoks were bullshit, though.
They were bullshit, but, you know, when you're a little person.
Yeah, it's the gig. You get that one gig at Christmas time every year, maybe St. Patrick's Day, and you got to hope they're casting Ewoks. I saw, aren't they remaking the Willow? And
they're making it as a show or something. I think it's on Disney Plus.
Is what's his name? Warwick Davis? Is he in it?
Oh yeah, he is.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
you know, he needed a gig.
R.I.P. Norman Steinberg, screenwriter, one of the screenwriters on Blazing Saddles and My Favorite Year, 83 years old, and Mel Brooks credited him, said like, he was like a big force on Blazing Saddles, which is one of the greats.
Great movie.
And Richard Pryor,
classic,
did all the wrote all the lines for Mongo.
Yeah,
Mongo, pawn in the game of life. But they weren't allowed. He wasn't allowed to play Cleavon Little's role because of his drug problems. The studio wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
And Mel Brooks is like, well, he's staying on as a screenwriter.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great movie. R.I.P. Leroy Raphael. I don't know if he gets the R.I.P. Yeah. Arby's co-founder, 96.
Did he die in custody?
I assume he didn't eat his own food because you don't live to 96 eating Arby's.
He's like, I got an idea. Well, microwaves weren't even invented probably when he came up with Arby's, but he's like, well, here's what we'll do. We'll go to Ralph's and we'll get some of that gray meat Buttig. And then we'll throw it on a white bun in the microwave. And then if people want, they can have barbecue sauce with it and we'll charge them $1. And that's guy lived to 96, you know?
You know what? He was like, he woke up in the middle of the night and he's like, I got it. What if there was a way to bum people out more on road trips at rest stops?
It is really sad. And, you know, there's an Arby's that I drive by a lot, and it's got a great sign. I think we talked about this before.
I do like the sign,
Great sign. I mean, it's a beautiful sign, and it's
a 10-gallon hat, right?
Yes, it's a sign I could get behind, but the food is fucking disgusting.
So gross. Oh, it's a huge bummer.
Yes.
And R.I.P. Darcelle, the world's oldest drag queen, 92 years old.
Is that documented? Was he still dragging around at 92? That had to be really sad.
You know, this isn't my phrase, but it brings up the quote, nothing sadder than an old queen.
Yes, I have heard that before. R.I.P. Darcelle.
Exciting news.
Yes.
After watching Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street movie, Kanye West declared he liked Jewish people.
That's all it took. I mean, it's a pretty low bar. To get back with the chosen people.
Show him Slumdog Millionaire. He's going to love Indian people.
Wait till he sees the color purple.
Oh, wow. Nah, he still hates black people. We know that. Afro Man.
Oh my God.
I think we talked about when he got, it was a raid because of weed.
Weed. He lives in Ohio where they don't have freedoms. And they, and the cops came and they, I think he has a gate and they busted down his gated driveway.
Yeah. It was like on him to repair it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they busted down his door and he was making a video of it like while they were searching his house. And then he used
his private, security footage of people invading his home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking away his freedom.
Yeah.
And the he sued for, quote, invasion of privacy by the police who raided his home. Yeah. So he plans to countersue.
Well, and this is malicious because you have no rights to your own image when you're out in public. And this has long been adjudicated by the Supreme Court. There's precedent.
They weren't in public. They were in Afro Man's home.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So even more so, like he's got, and that's his place, you know, he can film whatever's going on in his place and you don't have any rights to that. And this is cops being cops. They're being huge fucking dickheads and bullies. And I'm Team Afro Man here. Oh, this is, this is Katie Shady. This is Cincinnati. Afro Man's a Cincinnatian.
Put a picture of Afro Man on your wall next to Johnny Fever.
That's right. Yeah, have a fundraiser for him. Afro Man is speaking out amid his ongoing legal saga with his local Cincinnati law enforcement.
This is the guy who had that Because I Got High song.
Yeah, it's a banger. Kevin Smith put it at the end of a movie. Was it the Jay and Silent Bob?
I think it was probably one of the sequels. Those are pretty bad.
Yeah. Seven members of the department have filed a lawsuit against the Good Times artist for invasion of privacy and unauthorized use of an individual's persona. His attorney, Afro Man's attorney, real name Joseph Foreman, Afro Man's better, said in a statement shared on Instagram, they're planning to countersue. They're saying they had a lawful warrant. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Daily and the man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all.